To the book of Luke, chapter 23. Luke 23. Luke chapter 23. I'm going to read from verse 32 to verse 43. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou art coming to thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for thy precious Son that went to the cross for us, that he might pay for all our sins. I pray, dear Lord, that you would open up our hearts to receive thy word in our mind. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would give us understanding. Help me, Lord, to deliver thy word. And I pray that above all things that you would receive all the honor and glory as only thou art worthy. Thank you, Lord. You know, the crucifixion of the Lord is probably, there's no doubt in my mind, is the most important thing in the history of mankind. This is the focal point of all civilizations. This is the time where all the sins of men, all the past, all the present, all the future, were all nailed to the cross. This is where pardon was paid. This is also where, I believe, where East met West. This was also the happiest day and also the saddest day. This was also where righteousness and peace kissed each other.
Amen.
This is where mercy and truth met. This is truly the reason why our Lord and Savior came to this world. This is the most important day, the most important event in world history. And you know, it's also not a coincidence. Nothing that's in the scriptures, nothing is by coincidence, nothing happened by mistake. Or everything that was done, everything the way it was done, just the fact that it was a cross where my Lord had to be crucified, that's also very significant. First of all, he had two malefactors, one on the left and one on the right, and his hands are extended. Like saying, here I am, these are my hands, and that's exactly what the book of Proverbs tells you. Oh, in chapter 1, he has extended his hand all the day long. And of course, it's not a coincidence that also that cross also points to heaven and it points to hell. There's only two places to go. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. Some people like to make it a little bit more soft. They don't want to say the word hell. They'll even say, well, it's only a place where God's not going to be there. No, what Jesus said is a place of burning. Yeah. You don't want to make a mistake on this. I don't want to soften it up. This is the way the Lord said it. He said, if it's so bad that you can't cut your arm, if that's what's bothering you. If it's your eye, then pluck it out. You don't want to go to hell. That's what this is all about. This is also the story of two malefactors. Just the fact that they came, and once on the left and once on the right, very significant. I believe that they are representatives of this whole world. Most people like to divide. They like to divide people by different things. They like to say, "Well, this is different race and that's another race." They like to put colors. Sometimes they say, "Well, he's white, he's black, he's brown. Well, they're yellow. Well, they are red." Some like to say, "Well, there's only two differences: it's between good and bad." Some say, "No, it's between the rich and the poor." Some say, "No, it's between the good, the bad, and the ugly." But let me tell you something. What God says is that there's only two classes, and He makes it very plain. In the scriptures, it also tells you, you're either the sheep or you're the goat. You're either saved or you're lost.
Amen.
It also tells you, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're either blessed or you're cursed. You're either a saint or you ain't. You know something else that I see here? Is that God is not a respecter of persons. You know, we all like to respect somebody and there's nothing wrong with being courteous, and you ought to be. But the Lord chose very plainly that He's not a respecter of persons. That's why I believe this is a tremendous example of the whole world. These two thieves, you're represented here. Either you're the one that repented or the one that didn't. The thing is that you're being called a thief. I know some of you might get offended with that, but I'll prove to you that you are a thief. I'm going to use the scriptures, but I just want you to know that God doesn't see any difference. That's why these guys were identical. They had both been condemned. They were both guilty. They were both meeting the same fate. But you know, God says that there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek. He says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
For there is none good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. We are all of an unclean thing. And you know, I'm just wondering this morning which one represents you. Because we're all in this together. I believe that these two guys are a representation of mankind. The Apostle Paul says, knowing that this that our old man was crucified with him, he also said in another place, I have been crucified with Christ. I wonder if you have already been crucified with Christ.
Amen.
But you know, the thing is that it offends people when you tell them you're a thief. But that's what God says. That's why you are one of these. The Bible says that you have robbed me. That's what he says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. He says, you have robbed me. That's what God is saying in tithe and in offerings. That includes you and that includes me. And if you have, you're a thief. That's what God says. But it also says that in Jeremiah, as a thief is ashamed when he is found. I know for a fact that thieves do get shamed when they get found. I put many people in jail that were thieves. They were always ashamed. Now you can bust somebody for drugs or for other crimes, they think they're real big shots. But bust them for stealing, and they're ashamed. They bow their head. They don't want nobody to see them. I remember a long time ago, when I was a patrolman, they sent me to an HEB on South Presa. The HEB is not there no more. But they sent me to go and get a choplifter. The choplifters were not arrested by the policemen. They were arrested by the security people from that company. HEB used to arrest a lot of people. I don't know anymore. But they had a lot of security everywhere. And I went into the office, and there was an 75-year-old lady that had been arrested. She had stolen a candy that cost only 10 cents. She was very ashamed. And of course, since I'm a big spender, I offered to pay the 10 cents. They didn't want my money. They said, no, she needs to be made an example. Everybody needs to know that if you commit a crime in HEB, you're going to pay for it. We want her put in jail. I had no choice but to take her in. I was the transporting officer. You write the offense report. You had to put her in jail, but she had her head down. I was also ashamed. I was ashamed for her. I was ashamed for people to see me that I'm arresting a 75-year-old lady. That's shameful. Nevertheless, I want you to know that many people believe that God somehow will forgive their sins and will just acquit them. That He will just let it slide. But just like HEB would not allow this to go by, neither does God. He says in Nahum chapter 1 verse 3, He says He will not at all acquit the wicked. Amen. Somebody has to pay. That's what Jesus just finished doing here on this story that I'm telling you. Right here at the cross of Calvary. Somebody had to pay it, because you're not going to be caught any slack. He doesn't acquit the wicked. And Jesus had to come in and pay for it. His Son had to pay for our debt. But you know, I just pray that this morning, that if you're on the wrong camp, if you're on the wrong side, if you're in tune with the guy who didn't repent, I pray that this morning you would also repent. Amen. I pray that you would also be embarrassed. And I pray that you would also change today, that you would ask the Lord to save your soul. I want you to know something else, that these two thieves, they came to the cross already condemned. They were already guilty. Now, you don't find anywhere in here where they tried them. You don't find no evidence being presented against them. I wonder why. They represent you and I. We were found guilty at the garden. It was because of the sin of Adam that we have all sinned, and death passed upon all, because all have sinned. That's why we die, because we're sinners. And it came over to us through Adam. We've been guilty all the time. Anytime a child is born, he's guilty. That's what the Bible tells us. That's why you don't see these guys being tried. They were already condemned. They're meeting their fate that they deserve, just like you and I. Many people believe that, and they teach this, that's the way they used to teach me in the religion that I used to belong to, that we were all the children of God. That's not so. The Bible tells me that we were by nature the children of wrath. The Bible says that we were all dead in sins and trespasses. It tells me that we were all without Christ. It tells me that we were all as an unclean thing. He says that we all walked according to the course of the prince of the air. The Bible very plainly teaches that there is none good. We were all born the children of Satan. That's what the Lord tells the religious people in John chapter 8. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. That's why, my friend, it's so necessary that you must be born again.
Amen.
We all came with the same condition. All passed upon us by our father, Adam. But you know, just like these two guys, it's amazing. If you would read the accounts in the book of Mark and in the book of Matthew and in here in the book of Luke, you find that both of these guys were mocking the Lord. Here they are crucified. They're about to die. Everybody on the ground is mocking the Lord. And these guys are too. They're repeating the same thing that the other people are saying. And it tells you that they were both reviling the Lord. But you know, also both of these guys came asking for salvation. And that's going to be my point this morning. I'm going to talk about their confessions, their petitions before God, because this is also a pattern of how you get saved. This is also a pattern of how you wind up in hell. These guys will teach you so much. If we would just listen, first of all, let me read to you verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. It's amazing that when you're on the wrong, as soon as you open your mouth, they can detect that there's something wrong. All this guy had to do was use the word if. The first word, if thou be the Son of Christ, if thou be the Son of God. We don't even have to go any further. Just take the word if. That means that this guy is not accepting Jesus as being God. I know he had listened. I knew he knew the truth. God had not done these miracles hiding somewhere. The Bible said that he did it openly in front of everybody. He was healing people, feeding the thousands, doing so many things. Everybody knew that even the devils would also say, I know who thou art. This guy knew, the other guy knew. But he comes up with this crazy thing, if. Let me tell you something. The Lord also answers the word back with if. He says in John 8:24, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. It's necessary. That's why when I deal with religions that don't accept Jesus as God, and I don't have to mention to you the religions, but there's many, they don't believe that Jesus is God. I don't deal with them on hell and all the other things. The first thing I need to deal with is who is Jesus. Because if they can't accept who Jesus is, what's the difference that I convince them that there's a hell? They're still going to go over there. I need to try to convince them that Jesus is God. Amen. And it's very plain in the scriptures. This guy don't believe that he is God. So of course he opened his mouth and he's found to be a liar. Also, my second observation of this thief, he's repeating what he heard somebody else said. The same thing he said is what the soldier said, according to Luke. The same thing he said is the same thing that the priest said in Matthew 27. You know what that tells me? This guy's a follower of men. He believes religion. Don't follow men. In this church, we don't tell you to follow a man or to follow a religion. We tell you to follow Christ.
Amen.
For He is the only way. This is the only thing that we always tell everybody. Don't let nobody deceive you. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 24, when they ask Him, Lord, tell us about the end times. How is it going to be? And what should we look for? The first thing that Jesus said before He spoke for two chapters, He says, take heed that no man deceive you. This is so important. This guy had been deceived. He's repeating what the priest said. And you know that is so common. So many people will tell you, well, that's what my priest said. I remember a long time ago, I had just gotten saved and I was talking to somebody that I knew and that I love very much and I still do. And I was telling him about how to get saved. I was telling him that baptismal doesn't save you. Good works don't save you. Only Mary doesn't save you. Only Jesus saves you. Religion can't save you. And his conclusion, when I finished, he said, you know what? If that's the case, that means that all my relatives are in hell. My grandpa and grandma and great grandpas and all my uncles, everybody that has passed away, they're all in hell. That's what that means. And if they're there, then I'm going there with them. Don't be a fool. Don't follow men. Not only that, but the Lord tells you that cursed is the man that trusts in men. Because that's exactly what will happen. You start trusting in men, they're going to let you down. You're supposed to trust in Jesus. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. You know also what this tells me? This story also tells you that, or teaches you that you can get saved at the last hour. Maybe even at the last minute. But you know what I also see in the scriptures and what I see in this life? That thousands of people die every year by accident. They weren't intending to die that day. Many times it's by violence. Many times it's by accidents. By so many different things. They leave it for the last day. I wonder how many were trusting that one day they would turn to God. You can't leave it for the last day. Just because this guy, this is the only example we find in Scripture of one guy getting saved at the last minute, at the last hour. This is not an example for anybody else to follow. Matter of fact, the Bible tells you very plainly, if you wait and wait, God's going to wind up laughing at you. That's what he says in Proverbs chapter 1. He says, all the day long I stretched out my hand. And then he goes on to say, but you know what? When your calamity comes, when it's time for you to die, in other words, God says, I'm going to laugh at you. You're going to be here trying to call on God. And I've been with many people that are about to die. I've talked to them. And you know what they all say? Oh, yes, I want to receive Jesus. I believe in God. Some have died and some didn't. The ones who died, I really don't know if they got saved. I hope they did. But the ones who lived, I know that later on they went on to serve the devil. They didn't change. Because you see, most of the people are just like this thief. He's saying, yeah, if you're God, save yourself and save me. All that he's asking is for deliverance from the situation he's in. And that's what most people are doing most of the time when they're about to die, just like my dad. When he was about to die, the doctor had already told me he's got one more day. And I went inside the hospital and I was talking to him and I said, Dad, where are you going? When you die, I had already witnessed to him so many times, he had rejected the Lord over and over. You would think that maybe at least here, right about to die, he would give me some comfort and say, I'm accepting Jesus or I'm going to heaven because Jesus saved my soul. Instead, he said, I'm going to heaven, son, because I've been good. I can just imagine God laughing at him. You fool. I will laugh at you at your calamity. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what this man is doing. He's out here and he's also asking for salvation, but it's a different tone. It's a different tune he's singing. He just doesn't want to be in this situation. Just like most people when they're in that situation that they don't want to be in, that they're very sick with a certain disease, or they've been really knocked out. They pray, but the prayer is it really about your sin? Most people will tell you, of course, yeah, it's for my sin. But only the Lord knows. And you can get saved at the last minute. But most of the time, most people are not doing that. Secondly, these thieves were one was just as guilty as the other. There was no difference between them. But finally, that second thief, let me talk to you about the second thief. Because this thief, he saw something different. He had been mocking the Lord. The Bible said they mocked the Lord. Both of them. From the cross. About to die and they're mocking the Lord. Can you imagine that? But finally one of them snapped. One of them finally realized, you know what? I'm tired of being a hypocrite. That's the same thing that I said. When I was 36 years old, they had been witnessing to me and witnessing to me. Finally, one night, I remember I was working at a part-time job. And I said, Lord, I'm tired of being a hypocrite. People think that I'm good, but I know I'm bad, and you know, Lord, that I'm bad. I deserve to go to hell. That's when the Lord convicted me, and this is so much like me. This guy, he's changing his mind. He had just been mocking the Lord just like you and I have. Before we got saved, we used to do the same thing. That's why he's a representative of all of us. That's why God used two guys that were already guilty, that were already condemned, because that's the way we were. Before you got saved, you were no different than these guys. You would mock the Lord and laugh at all the bad jokes. Anything that had to do with Christianity or with prophets or with those who preach the gospel, you would also laugh and mock at them. You were mocking the Lord. We were just like the Apostle Paul used to be. But this guy finally, he finally snapped. He finally realized. And he decided, you know what, this is reality. This is life. You can't afford to make a mistake, my friend. You know, in this life, we all make mistakes. But the thing is that they'll be corrected. I just went through my 38th wedding anniversary, and Friday was such a disaster. Everything, everywhere I went, everything was going bad. My battery wouldn't start. I went to two different restaurants, and then finally on the last one, it's already almost 12 o'clock midnight, and I'm still haven't eaten. They don't even bring the food on time, and then they bring it in a hurry and they forget the utensils. I'm so mad. That's the way life is. But you know what? The thing is that these things will pass. It's just a little bump on the road. But you can't afford to make a mistake on eternity. If you miss this one, if you don't get saved, you wind up in hell and there is no more acquittals. There's not going to be no getting out for good behavior. There's not going to be no parole later on. You will stay in this place, and it's not going to be a place where, like most drunks like to say, well, I'm going to hell because all my buddies are going to be there and we're just going to be having a good time. It's not a good time when you're burning. It's not going to be a good time when you're yelling and screaming. And that's exactly what God says. You don't want to make a mistake because this is forever. If you understand what that means, it's an everlasting fire. That fire will never be quenched. That's why it's so important that you don't make a mistake in this. Also, let me read to you what this man said on verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Right away, you detect wisdom. This man fears God. That's what the Bible says, that the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. Or the fear of the Lord, rather, is the beginning of wisdom. You can see already that he fears God. You know why you need to fear God? Because he says what he means, and he means what he says. God doesn't let not one jot or one tittle to be passive. Even when he was on the cross, he had already fulfilled so many prophecies. There was one more left. He still hadn't had the vinegar offered to his mouth. So while he's on the cross, he just says, "I thirst." And immediately somebody gave him that vinegar. It needed to fulfill the scriptures. Not one jot or one tittle will pass until all be fulfilled. My Lord fulfills everything. You need to fear him. You know something? This man immediately, when he says, "We indeed justly," on verse 41, "we receive the due rewards." This guy is admitting guilt. That's how we get saved. That's how I got saved. That's how everybody gets saved. You have to admit that you're guilty. We're all guilty. I was guilty. This man recognized that he was talking to the Lord. He recognized that this was the King. He recognized that this was the one that had the power to save. He's the one that had the power to forgive sins. He's the one that had the power to take you to heaven. But something else more important, he also recognized that he needed to ask. The other one was never even bothered with. You notice that the first thief, the Lord never responded to him. He never told him, "Oh, pretty please, will you please repent?" He had already done. All you have to do now is just read it and believe it. God had already done all the miracles. He had already done everything He had to say. He didn't have nothing more to say to this man. But He still extended His hand. He extended His hand to both. This second one also recognized that who he was talking to was the way, the truth, and the life. He understood also something very important, my friend. He said, "Remember me when you come to your kingdom." Amen. Can you understand his words? He didn't say, "Lord, take me to heaven." He didn't say, "Lord, I want to walk the streets of gold with you. Lord, take me also because I want to be there with you. I want to be walking hand in hand. I want to check the hands of all the saints." He said, "Lord, remember me." Can you see his brokenness? Can you see his unworthiness? Can you see his humility? This guy is not even asking to take him to heaven. He is broken down and he's saying, "Lord, just remember me. I'm not worthy to go with you, Lord." Amen. Just like that man publican that would just smote his chest and he says, "Father, forgive me." That's all this guy is saying. "Lord, remember me. I'm not worthy to be there with you." But it's also so amazing that God would tell him today, "You will be with me in paradise. Not tomorrow. Not maybe so. Not next week or later on when I come back for all the saints." He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That's what happens when you die in Christ. Amen. Immediately you will be in the presence of God. By the same token, if you die without Christ, immediately you will be in hell. I never forget what my dad told me one time, long time ago. He had several heart attacks. He also had five bypasses, just like me. I had four. He had five. But he had a whole bunch of heart attacks. He finally died at the age of 75 years old, I think he was. But I never forget one time he says, "I died at the operating table, son. They had to revive me from there." And I remember very plainly, he said, there were three men with hoods. They were all dressed in black. And it seemed to me they were waiting to take me away. You would think that this would be at least a sign or something that would put some fear in him. Maybe the Lord was trying to tell him that's where you're going if you don't repent. But he didn't. He was just as stubborn as the first thief. This guy would not quit. This guy would not repent. Even though his own buddy told him, "Hey, don't you see it? We're in the same condemnation. We are receiving because this is the due reward of what we have done." But he had done nothing amiss. "Don't you see who we have in our presence? This is God Almighty in the flesh. He has come to die for us." That's why the Apostle Peter says that all the prophets give witness that whosoever believeth in Him shall have remission of sins. That's what the Bible says. All the prophets give witness. How come you haven't believed it? I want to ask you this morning, are you here and you haven't believed? Which thief are you? We were all the same. But something took place in my life. I repented. I changed from one side to the other. I asked the Lord Jesus to save my soul. You can do the same thing if you haven't asked Him to save you. Don't make a mistake. You don't know if you'll be alive tomorrow. You can't say, well, I'll wait till next week or next month. You might not have the chance like these guys did. You might say, well, later on when I finish sowing all my wild oats, there's a lot of small graves at the cemetery. There's a lot of people that had no plans. All those in 9/11, they didn't go to work that morning just knowing that they were going to die. It caught them by surprise. You don't know when would be the next attack. Iran is very serious. They're already getting ready. You know what I see in the scriptures? That when God comes, He's going to be dealing with those countries in that part of the world. Don't make a mistake. Don't be taken by surprise. You're not sure of tomorrow. Don't boast of tomorrow, the Bible says. Salvation is today. Today is the day of salvation. All you have to do, Jesus already paid your price. He already died at the cross for you. He still has His hands extended. That's the reason why He was nailed in the way He was, so that the world can say, hey, this is how much I love you. My hands are still extended to you. And He said, but if you decide you don't want nothing of Me, when the time comes, I'm going to laugh at you. Let me tell you something. When God laughs, you're in trouble. Don't wait. I recommend that even tonight, this morning rather, that this morning, you would change your mind. You would just follow the steps of this thief, of the second thief, who recognized Him as Lord. Recognize Him as Lord. All the saints of old did. All the saints of old looked towards the cross. All the saints of now, we look back towards the cross. This is the focal point of society, of humanity, of civilization. We all look to the cross. This is where you find salvation. The Apostle Paul says, we glory in the cross. This is our glory in the crucifixion of our Lord, that He died and paid for all our sins. Don't wait another day. We're going to finish now, and I'm going to open the altar. If you want to get saved, come and talk to me. I'll get somebody to pray with you. It's real simple. All you need is a repentant heart and put your faith and trust in Jesus. We're going to sing that song Yeah, we'll go with that. I was thinking of this room at the cross, but I don't know the number.